Lord, we thank you for your word. And as we look at it today, we pray that you may help us to understand and give us hearts willing to respond. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've never been very fashion conscious, actually, for which I blame my dear old mum. For growing up, she kept the clothes my brother had outgrown for me to wear. Perhaps you too have had that experience of receiving hand-me-downs. The only thing was, my brother is 7 years older than me, and in 7 years, fashions change. I dreaded the trunk with my brother's old clothes being opened, and out came gabardine macs, Wellingtons with pointed toes, and of course, over 7 years shut away, the rubber had perished. Now I can choose what I wear, but my children have views about that. I remember a family holiday camping in France, and we were getting ready to go out. I stepped out of the tent, and Jo, our daughter, said, "Dad, I'm not going out with you dressed like that." "Whatever not," I protested. "My polo shirts and shorts are colour coordinated." "Yes," she said, "that may be, but I'm not going out with you wearing socks with sandals." And there's been more than one occasion when, meeting up with all the family, Matt, our son, as I've stepped out of the car, has wanted to know who dressed me. I'm fairly sure most of you this morning will, even if unconsciously, have thought about what we will wear. I did a quick look on the internet, and in 2015, the UK spent nearly £58 billion on clothes, footwear and fashion accessories. What clothes we wear matters, and for some so does the label it carries. I doubt my 15-year-old granddaughter has any clothes with an M&S label, more likely Topshop or Zara, for she is very fashion conscious. Well, even if we cannot keep up with the latest fashion trend, we will make decisions about what we wear. But I wonder if you've ever given any thought as to what the Bible says about how we should clothe ourselves, what we should put on as God's people. Paul wrote about it to the Colossians, and if you'd like to turn to the passage, it's on page 1184, Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Our sermon series during the autumn is based on Paul's letter to the Colossians, and to help us think about our front lines, the places that God has put us to be fruitful and to help his kingdom grow. There's a book to accompany this series entitled Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and copies are available to buy at the back of church. They're £9. And the same theme will be picked up in home groups. As Anthony reminded us last week, introducing the series, that although Paul had never visited the church at Colossae, news from a fellow worker in the gospel, Epaphras, had troubled him. And the trouble for the Colossian Christians was syncretism, the tendency to introduce ideas from other religions and philosophies. And that was a direct challenge to the supremacy of Christ. And so Paul began his letter by pointing them to Jesus, who was the image of the invisible God, in whom new life and purpose was to be found. And now in these verses in chapter 3, he reminds them, as he writes in verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. This is how you're to clothe yourselves, revealing the godly character that we should model. And this new life in Christ is in contrast to the old life, for we don't put on new clothes over old ones. Chapter 3 and verse 5 he writes, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. And verse 8, he goes on, rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Cast them off, says Paul. And as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with these qualities and virtues, modelling the pattern of Jesus himself. So how is it we are to clothe ourselves? Paul says, verses 12 and 13, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Compassion is more than feeling sorry for someone. Jesus, we are told in Matthew and Mark's Gospel, when confronted by the crowds, had compassion for them, for he saw their need and healed and fed them. His compassion moved him to action. Richard Cargom was the founder of the Aberfield Society, which provides housing for lonely people. He was a Christian, and on leaving the army in 1955, became aware that loneliness was a real problem, and moved by compassion, used his army gratuity to purchase a house and invited lonely people to come and live with him in a family environment. And from this small beginning was the birth of Aberfield Society, which now has houses dotted around the country, providing a home and care for people. When we hear of some tragedy happening to someone, we sometimes say, our hearts go out to them. Compassion says, our hearts go out to them, and what might we do? Kindness is wanting the best for another. I used to take Joy communion at home as she had serious problems with her breathing. She was a delightful Christian, Joy by name and joyful by nature. Everyone loved her. She'd never married and had cared for her parents till they died. She'd worked in an office in London doing secretarial work. But her life was made miserable by her office manager, who was really quite nasty to her, taking every opportunity to belittle her and put her down. One day the manager came into work with the most awful cough. Now Joy could have been pleased to see her under the weather and suffering. But no, during her lunch break, she purchased some cough medicine and when the manager wasn't looking, quietly placed it on her desk. Here was kindness in action, and discovering who gave it to her, the manager's attitude to Joy completely changed. You see, the office was Joy's front line for her Christian witness. Where might ours be during this week? We are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, and two, humility. To be humble enough, firstly, to acknowledge our dependence on God, but also, like Jesus, to be humble in serving others. For Jesus was not too proud to stoop and wash feet. Some of you may know Sue and I lived as part of a Christian community for some 8 years. It's where we met. Living together with others is not always easy. And it brought up at community meetings were tea and coffee cups that had been discarded and left lying around. We all saw them, but whose were they? Too often the attitude was, it's not my job. Where with a little humility, it might never have been an issue. It's been said, the person who looks up to God rarely looks down on people. We're to be humble. Then we're to clothe ourselves with gentleness, or as some translations have it, meekness. It's not that we allow ourselves to be treated as doormats, but that we act with gentleness towards others. The society in which we live can be aggressive and very critical, and people today seem to get angry very quickly. To be gentle is not to be a wimp, but to be in control of our emotions. So, for instance, being angry at the right time and not the wrong time. If we put gentleness and patience together, then it's about having self-control. There will be many whose patience is sorely tried, perhaps in caring for someone. But lest we forget, Paul wrote this to the Colossian Christians, a reminder this godly character of patience needs to be practiced in the church amongst one another. For when we do things which irritate, or they others seem slow to grasp the truths of the gospel, this may be our front line in the church family where we actually need to show gentleness and patience. And maybe this is why in verse 13, Paul continues, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." Why would Paul say this? Well, I think he knew that when we don't forgive, we can become bitter, and when feeling hurt, become critical. This is not to say, of course, forgiveness is an easy thing when you've been hurt. It can be costly. And that's why Paul reminds us of how the Lord has forgiven us. And that picks up with our gospel reading from Matthew and the unmerciful servant. Sometimes people feel to withhold forgiveness is a punishment to the person who's hurt and offended them, when in truth it has no effect on the other person, but only makes them bitter and can have a negative effect on their own health and well-being. So what about us? Is there someone you struggle to forgive? If there is, don't beat yourself up. Be honest with God and seek his help and grace. And you could talk to one of the ministry team here, and we'd be pleased to pray with you. Paul has given us these godly characteristics to clothe ourselves. But what holds it all together, rather like a belt or overgarment, is love. Verse 14. Love for God and love for others. For love brings unity. It's worth it when you have a few minutes to spare to compare this list here with the fruits of the Spirit Paul lists in Galatians 5, which is a reminder that it's the work of God in us by his Spirit that grows and produces these positive virtues or fruits in us. Paul makes two other important points in verses 15 and 16, and that is the peace of Christ, which should rule or be the umpire in our hearts, and the word of God, which should indwell us, and both should shape our lives as God's people. This is a passage about our character as God's people and how we are to behave in relationships to others, both inside the church and on the front line outside, wherever God may place us, in whoever's company we find ourselves, at work, in the shopping queue, at the golf club, in school, with neighbours, at the pub, and so on. And helpfully in verse 17, Paul gives us a litmus test when it comes to actions. For he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are our words and actions expressed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? Have we a forgiving spirit? And is it all from a heart of love for God and those created in his image? And do our words and actions leave us feeling peaceful? The great thing about the virtues Paul says we are to clothe ourselves in is that they are designed by God, carry the Jesus label, and are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are attractive, fit perfectly, and as far as God is concerned, they never go out of fashion, and so are ideal for daily Christian living on the front line. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, and we pray that you would be at work in each one of us, that these great virtues may grow in us, that we may be effective wherever you place us on our front lines. And we ask it for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen.